Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Then we'll give you the time you want it.
Can't change the clock.
And you want to be mine.
Can't change the clock.
See, this is the part where it's all like chaotic and like all like in his brain.
On this crazy romance.
I was crazy romancing it.
And I got it. It changed like the wind.
I need it.
I'm ready to pop. I said it.
He did say it.
I kissed your back. I knew it.
He knew it.
I'm sick of all these lies.
I blew it.
It was getting colder. I want it. Turn the page.
See how good life is when she knows how to say sorry.
Right?
It's a good life.
Girl, say sorry already, because I'm concerned of your safety.
You wanted me for fame. I played it in the band. A world built on time. I asked you on a date. I couldn't be your soulmate.
This sounds like something Will Ferrell would write.
How easily I live. I asked you out. You said don't shout. My friends will hear. Afraid that they will see you. My time is bad.
Wow.
You're not the best I've ever had.
Wow.
God, how I hate this place. I can see you there. My true love and flair. My mouth shut tight. Why can't I fight? If I told you now, just let love allow.
Wow, that is pure stalkerage. That's, I don't say a word.
I'm just glad he's being honest.
Wow.
Hey, everybody, you are listening to the Chonilla Podcast, and I'm Chloe.
And I am Shirley, a.k.a. Lorraine Klassen, and you're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, a personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
Bam! I'm so glad your laptop is working again.
Same. Oh, my. Wait, don't out me on this that I'm a rookie with the laptop. Don't even go there, Mr. Rookie. I didn't press record on the PC and on the board. Try to make me look out like I'm a rookie, Mr. Rookie.
I'm cutting all that shit out. And you are listening to the Chonilla Podcast on Saturday, November 2nd, 2019 at 12:31 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern Time.
All right.
You know it. You didn't press record it. You should have recorded. I should have had my PC on.
You didn't have my back.
You know it. Hey, Clove, so my AKA is Lorraine Klassen. You know, I'm all about, you know, sharing the Black Canadian awesomeness.
That's right.
Awesome sauce that's in this country.
That's right.
And Lorraine Klassen is actually, she's an artist, a musician, and performer.
Mm-hmm.
With Just Time, Justin.
That's like a triple threat, right?
Like as in the name Justin, like Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
So Justin Time Records / Wild West Artist Management. She is resides in Montreal and born in South Africa.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So Lorraine is like, she's like a singer. She's a showman woman.
A triple threat.
She's beyond. Okay.
Gotcha.
She's captivated fans with world music, jazz, African music throughout North America. She could sing in like English, French, Swahili, Zulu, Xhosa.
I hate her.
Xhosa. I'm trying to do the the date.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
She sounds really talented.
Yes, Lingala.
I'm super jealous.
Greek and Hebrew, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, as well as other 12 African dialects that she could sing.
She's ready for the world tour.
She's a true musicologist, singer, and choreographer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all need to know. So Google that, this Canadian black gem, Lorraine Klassen.
Very cool, very cool.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
I'm doing good, yeah. Shoot, what do I want to talk about? There was something that happened this week that I want to go over.
Okay.
Man, like an idiot, I didn't even write it in my notes.
Really?
I told myself three times to write it in my notes. I totally forgot.
What do you remember happened to you? Anything interesting and new that happened at work? Anything that you're like, wow, I'm awesome. I'm awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, there was, I can't really get into details, but there was a scene that I was working on and I was struggling with it, you know, and just like not being able to break through or get what I needed out of the performance. And I managed to do it. So, yeah, it was a small accomplishment, but yeah.
You got it.
You did it. You wanted my time.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for you.
Man, there's something funny that happened. Wait.
Does this have to deal with white people?
With some white nonsense? More than likely. Okay, anyways, let's get to the word of the show.
Okay, what is the word?
It's obstreperous.
What?
Obstreperous.
What? Say that again?
Obstreperous.
Obstreperous.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, close. Obstreperous.
Obstreperous.
Yes. Obstreperous.
Okay. Obstreperous. My brain. Okay.
Slow down.
No.
Here, let me give you the context.
Wait, because, okay, before you give me the context, my brain, obstreperous. I started thinking obstetrician. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
I thought like obstetrician, strep throat.
Okay.
I don't know.
One obstreperous physician who was particularly vocal about the benefits of the clitorectomy for ending masturbation in females.
I'm so mad.
Was British Dr. Isaac Brown. And
okay.
This was from a book called Breaking Their Will, Shedding Light on Religious Child Maltreatment. But yeah, obstreperous.
So it's a medical thing.
No.
Say that again.
One obstreperous physician who was particularly vocal about the benefits of the clitorectomy for ending masturbation in females was British Dr. Isaac Brown.
Someone who, someone in the medical field who tells you, like, this is bullshit?
No.
I don't know then.
No. Obstreperous means, it means boisterous, noisy, aggressive, and defiant.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, an example would be, an obstreperous child would, be pulling their mom's arm in the grocery store or something like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. So it's like another word for tantrum.
Yes, it's
got
a grown-up tantrum.
I'm being obstreperous.
Obstreperous.
Speaking of that, of obstreperous, did I say? I know I'm not saying it right.
No, you said it right.
Because you mentioned child as an example. So mm-hmm. We were out on breakfast, we were having breakfast this morning.
Get out of my brain.
And I don't know what you heard, but there was a kid. I heard the last minute of the tantrum,
okay.
The last portion of the tantrum, and then saw the mom hold the child, the boy's hand, to head over to the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
So what did you hear? Because you were much closer.
I heard the finality of it.
Okay.
I heard the end of it. This is the last word on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it just, it started a conversation where this is some, I was like, did she just cater to his tantrum? And you were like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, see.
Not only did she cater to it, but she was instructed to.
By a man.
Who I assume is her husband, yes.
I think it might be her dad.
Oh, okay.
Because later.
It's even more layered then.
Right? And so I thought, he's saying, take care of it, right? But then I started thinking, don't cater to tantrum, because I know our kids, every single one of our kids have had one tantrum in their life, in their childhood.
Yes, you mentioned it.
And I know I've said it so many times on the show.
It's something you should be proud of.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've told them when they had their first tantrum that this would be their last, because
enjoy it while it lasts.
Right. We're gonna do this. This is your first. This is welcome to this thing called life.
Yeah. Okay. It's not fair sometimes.
Right. And we gonna stop right there. So and I was saying to you, this is when I realize that when you have to put value to yourself as a parent. Mm-hmm. Because you as a parent, when they're that age, because mm-hmm. the kid was like, what, 3? Give or take, 3, 4?
Well, there was 2 kids there, right?
There was 2?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I just focused on the little white boy.
There was 2 little white boys. One was a little older than the other, yeah.
Okay, so the younger one is the one who's having that tantrum, and she's correct. Okay, let me take you to the bathroom or whatever, right? And so I was saying that I realized that you have to place value to yourself as a parent, because your time and your sanity is valuable.
Right. And just to emphasize that, you know, a child holding a tantrum to go to the bathroom, like, of course, the parent has to take him to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the language used was like almost removing her agency. It was almost like saying, like, you have to do this for me.
Right.
Like, this is your role. This is, I want this now, do it.
Right. Now,
and that's what it was like. What?
Now, there's funny, because there is a stage that you that is a healthy thing for kids, because at that age, they're supposed to be hyper narcissist, basically.
Gotcha.
Like, that's just kids.
Gotcha.
It's all which about is, self.
Which
it's
is a, the... Right. Go ahead.
It's a survival thing. It's a normal thing. But as parents, that's when you step in to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's about you, but you have to be... As a parent, step in to say, but there are other people other than yourself. Yeah. There are others around you, and there's my agency included.
Yeah, we're sharing this space.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, a little shit, don't be an asshole. Mm-hmm. Where was I going with? Oh, right. So when the kids was growing up, and we were talking, like, you as a parent represent the world. Mm. And how you allow tantrums or how you're treated is how kids will treat the world.
Yeah.
So if you don't own your agency, if you don't put some stop, like a stop right there, you are not going to behave like that with me.
Some boundaries.
Hence, you are not going to operate like that in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sit your little ass down.
Yeah. You know, like if you have something that's bothering you, little child, let's communicate it properly and don't be an asshole about it. And that's why I'm stopping that tantrum right now, because I represent the world and you're not going to move in the world having tantrums when there's a problem.
Yeah, you got to value yourself first, though.
Yes,
yeah.
You're going to communicate what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening? What do you need? Oh, you need to go to the bathroom. Okay. You don't need to be acting up like this, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But her, she just catered to it.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, like, you're just, there's got to be some agency as a human being to a little human being when they're acting up like this, if it makes any sense whatsoever.
It does. And the finality that I heard was the gentleman, I'll call him.
Oh.
He basically just said, like, fine, you can both have what you want, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was just like, and then there was like crickets at that table.
I'm telling you, I think that was her dad.
I don't know.
No, because I like.
But there was a patriarchy
was next,
in
place. Yeah. I think that was her father.
It had to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Bloodlines.
That's how white people do.
Speaking of white people, we saw some last week, some white womaning frustration at the mall when we're at the line at A&W.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I think that's what I wanted to talk about.
So these white women were very bothered because we're at A&W. It's like lunchtime.
Scarborough Town Center,
yeah. Huge mall. So
if you're from Scarborough, you know what we're talking about.
Food court was busy.
Yeah.
And when you are someone who is aware of your social surrounding,
yeah,
and some sense of sociability,
sure,
and some sense of like, you know, making things, making sure you don't want to take up too much time, but these women or space,
yeah,
they're all about taking the time and space.
Oh, letting everybody know how bothered they were
because it was not working. Mm. I don't even know what the two previous ladies had a problem with.
And you know what? I don't either. It was their body language. And
right away.
Like, because it was so loud, you couldn't really hear what they were saying.
Yeah.
Right? But you could tell that these white women were just going in on these young women of color.
And that's what it felt like.
Yes.
I felt like they were overwhelmed by the busyness.
Yes.
They saw an opportunity because the two
To center themselves, yes.
To center themselves, they saw two people who are at the cashier who are young. They're teenage girls. Both of them are not white. Both of them are girls of color.
Yeah.
One Indian, one black girl.
Yeah.
And they were talking to the black girl. So that's even, that raises the white womaning level to like, yeah, oh, let me like really center myself.
Let me double down.
Let me double down. And so I was like, okay, at first I was like, I sense there's maybe something going on.
Okay.
Because they came at it from jump with an attitude.
Yeah.
Like she didn't even do anything to give you reasons to, she ain't even got time to fuck up because she's just there.
Yeah.
But they were just, you could tell they took advantage of that because there was a vibe.
Yeah.
And then they did their order. Somehow it didn't work out.
What I did hear, it had something to do with the placement of the ketchup and the mayonnaise.
Oh my God.
Like,
okay.
For what?
Why?
For what?
Why?
Come on.
And then so they doubled down. And then this young girl who happens to be white as well, who was with her friend, who her friend has a child who is like biracial, and she cops an attitude too.
Yeah.
Because her patty wasn't inside the patty. No. The burger patty wasn't inside the bread properly. Yeah.
Because her burger was built like every fast food burger, like a sloppy mess.
Especially noon Scarborough Town Center.
They are throwing that shit in the bag. Yeah, like they don't care.
And then so she's like, I wish somebody knew how to put a patty in the bread.
And the older white ladies were talking about calling corporate and like leaving them a message. Like,
yes!
What?
So two old white ladies, this is when I knew that there's some fuck shit going on. Is because there was another woman, a black woman, who made her order. And she's waiting for her order, right? But then as she's waiting, she's witnessing these two ladies like being all rah, rah, rah. But she had a stance. Like, she had a black woman, I'm getting ready to defend this young black girl stance. Like, what? Like.
This isn't right.
So maybe she's waiting for that cue from the young black girl who works at A&W to kind of give her a, like, can you believe it, roll eyes. Because you know the moment that black girl employee, if she makes eye contact with the other black woman who's waiting for her order and does a roll eye, you know that other woman's going to be ready. Like, okay, this is the cue for me to step in. So when I saw her stand there, it put me on alert because I'm like, I know that stance. I'm getting ready to defend this young girl.
And I don't know what's going on. I'm like, what?
You have no idea. All you're seeing is two white women. White woman.
Are you good, Shirley?
And I'm like, no. Look at this woman over there. She's got that stance. I'm like getting ready. But oh my gosh, it was. I don't know what I was like. I was so upset.
My empathy meters were going off the chart.
I was upset because it was a reminder of me. It was a trigger of like how there are white women who do this to young women of color and take advantage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, in some subconscious level, I think so. Mm-hmm. Maybe they saw you and they thought it would alert them and give them this whole, you would be like, they shut off this damsel, you know what I mean? This damsel in distress.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes, because maybe you were there, because you were nearby.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I mean? So maybe they thought like, okay, maybe let me show my frustration and this white
assholes.
Dude is gonna like come to my defense.
Right.
Like, because I'm white womaning right now. I don't know. It was very like, ugh.
Yeah, cue the white knight.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's okay, though, because two black women were ready. One was really ready, and one was like, what's happening? Oh, I know that stance. Anywho, it was, ugh.
Those girls behind the counter, though, business as usual.
Yeah, business good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't let it phase. Yeah, they did. They were more like, I'm confused. I don't even know why these women are freaking out right now.
Yeah, the black girl looked at the Indian girl and was like,
what just happened?
Yeah, like with a face like, this old lady's tripping. I don't know what, I'm just going to give her what she wants. Yes. And I think the Indian girl's like, do it. Yeah, we're in the lunch rush. Just get her the fuck out of here.
It's true. It's so true.
Oh boy.
You ready for some news?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
News. I like the news. What is in the news?
Ding.
Yay, the news is not bad.
I can't help it. It makes me I'll get over it eventually.
But I hope you never get over it.
The little voices. It's so true. When they grow, you can't help to see them still as children.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks ago, Canadian Youth wants to sue Ottawa for not acting on climate change.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A group of young people from across the country are suing the Canadian government for not doing their job with climate change. In a statement issued, the foundation said the youth have each suffered specific individualized injuries due to climate change. The lawsuit, which is expected to be filled, last week Friday in the Supreme Court of Canada, would allege Ottawa is violating their rights to life, liberty, and security of person under Section 7 of the Charter Rights of Freedom.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, get them.
The lawsuit calls on Canada to cease its conduct that is violating the Youth Charter and public trust rights and prepare and implement a plan that reduces Canada's CHG emission in a manner consistent with what's best available science indicates is needed for the federal government to protect young Canadians.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's what's happening. And this is happening because I believe Greta, that young girl.
Yes.
Yeah. She was in Alberta about 2 weeks ago.
Gotcha.
And then last week, I believe she was in Ottawa or that area.
Okay.
So yeah, they're like,
I'm 100% for that.
Some bull.
Yeah.
Haiti, this is going to be long, so I'm trying to explain. Okay.
Can I do mine first?
Yes, you go.
Yes. Okay. So it turns out the Toronto Catholic School Board is on some bullshit. So back in October 2018, the Ontario Ministry of Education told all the schools to update their codes of conduct by November 4th, 2019. And they wanted it updated to include the recent updates made to Section 5 of the Ontario Human Rights Code, and these updates add protections against discrimination based on gender identity, gender expression, marital status, and family status.
Oh.
Right. But the Toronto Catholic School Board refused to include the terms to their own code of conduct and presented a 7-paragraph letter that includes language like, all people are created in the image and likeness of God and are deserving of respect and dignity. Instead of just like updating the terms in their code of conduct, right? They're replacing it with something they feel is more aligned with Catholicism.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more aligned with Catholicism, but not as aligned with human rights.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of
weird,
right?
Yeah.
So, Maria Rizzo, who is one of the subcommittee members who actually voted against it when it was presented, and she was totally blindsided by it, meaning that the other 4 members colluded on this without her.
Huh?
So there was a subcommittee, right, of the Catholic school board.
Yeah.
And they basically proposed this. She's in that subcommittee. They proposed this without telling her about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No, not at all.
Sneaky cat. Netflix.
Yeah, so exactly. And the Toronto Catholic School Board.
They've always been sneaky. Let's get real.
Yeah, so they might actually vote on this.
Oh.
On December 5th, yeah.
Hmm.
So the Toronto Catholic School Board is going to update their code of conduct, but not in a way that includes stated protections for gender expression.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Boo.
Because, you know, it's in a lot of public schools. I know my son's, our son's school had they had LGBTQ clubs.
Yeah.
A safe space for the kids to get together, to know who are who are LGBTQ in their community, of their little community of the school.
Yep.
They communicated where how to deal with things like Halloween. So that way it allows them to like feel safe to be able mm-hmm. to dress in drag and things like that. So they do all these kind of initiatives. Again, it's to create safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with the Catholic religion.
Yeah.
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 That's, yeah. And I'm sure they probably, the kids know and hear about some public school doing these things. And then this, yeah, like yeah. it's, yeah. Huh.
That's no good.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So in Haiti, a lot of things shaken down.
Do better, Toronto Catholic School Board.
Yeah. In Haiti, there's been more than 40 people who have died during protests in Haiti. I think they're on their 8th or 9th week of protests.
Wow.
So it's been, specifically, it's been happening since September or like mid-September.
Yeah.
Since mid-September. So the people of Haiti have been demanding the resignation of President Jovenel Moïse on the streets for more, like, actually it's been more than a year, but the last 8 weeks or so, it's been like, let's just, really push on this. So that's why there's been so many different groups of protests. I think the first couple of weeks was like just people just being tired.
Right.
And then artists and students made the protest be, they mobilized. So they made it, they helped it be organized a little bit better and a little bit more. And so they're asking for, basic services, economic improvements, measures to fight corruptions. That's the biggest thing. And this all happened because of the hike of gas. And gas is power for a lot of people. A lot of people uses generators as a form of power, as their electricity or things like that.
To me, it sounds like just one of the cogs in the wheels of oppression.
Oh, yeah. So the, basically, they've had at least 42 people have died, including a journalist. There's been mainly 19 of those 42 were actions of the security forces, like the national police.
Okay.
In Haiti, and most cases, the victims had gunshot wounds.
Oh wow!
Said the person of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Marta Hurtado is her name. And so what's been happening, so yeah, like I said, artists and students mobilized and continued with the protests. There have been talks with the government, but they have not reached, they're basically like, there's no, whenever they have talk, it's more like, I don't even know why we're bothering to talk, because we just want him to resign. Like, we just want him out.
Yeah, it's a non-negotiable.
And the way the media is trying to present it, like, that they want to have him out in order to have someone else come in. But the people are like, no, we're at a point where we're so tired of the corruption, because it's a cycle. Every time there's one that comes in, that new one's going to come in and corrupt, and then it just keeps happening and keeps happening. So what they're asking is, no, we want him out so we can look at the system until we figure out what's going to be, what to do.
Yeah, because he even admitted that it's the system's fault, not his, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, then get the fuck out of the way.
Right. So, so now it's at a point where the UN, I think, they had 1,000 UN military officers. They left 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
They went from 1,000 down to maybe 100.
Wow.
So every UN officer maybe represents now 10,000 Haitians or something like that. It's really bad. And so because the military, that so many UN have left, what happened now is workers from factories are protesting because some of the military UN are also crooked, and the police was also involved, where they were almost enslaving them, almost like.
Yeah. Whoa, keep talking.
Yeah, basically, they felt not safe to communicate how bad the factories were and how much less they were making. The average factory worker in Haiti in a sweatshop makes like $4 a day. And so these kind of...
Wait. $4 a day.
A day. Yeah. Yeah. And so 3 weeks ago, so now let's say 8 weeks, right? So you have 2 weeks where people are fed up. Third week where you have artists and students mobilizing to kind of organize the protest better and start communication with the government, but they're not coming to an agreement because they're like, there's no communication. You need to leave. Then around the fourth or fifth week, you have the sweatshop workers who are protesting and feel safe to protest because the UN military are, a lot of them are gone.
Wait, so the UN was being used as muscle for,
for these businesses. Yes.
Oh my God.
And the ports are controlled by a specific group of people, of families who are...
Nobody loves Haitians. This is horrible.
So a lot of the ports are controlled with these rich families who happen of heritage of Arab, Syrian, and Jewish...
Yeah,
a heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Arabs have been in Haiti for a long, long time.
Okay.
Not too far after the first revolution. And I say the first revolution because if this protest continue, there might be a second revolution happening. And we don't want that with Haitians because it's been done. But you're saying no, the revolution is already here.
It started.
Yeah. And you're and
look at the momentum it has.
Yeah.
Holy shit, 9 weeks?
Yeah. Fourth, fifth week, you have the workers coming out, they feel safe to protest and start communicating like the condition's been horrible. We're making $4 a day. We're only making enough to get to work and maybe have a meal. Maybe. So now you're at the fourth and fifth week. Oof. Around the fifth to sixth week, around the fifth, let's just say.
Right.
The police are exhausted and there's so much corruption within the police that the police are saying, you better give us better conditions. Like, we are demanding better pay, better conditions, like work conditions.
Yeah.
Or we're going to protest. So now the police is saying.
They've added their voice to it.
Then around the sixth week, you have the Catholic. So
everybody's reaching out for help from the government. And the government is just saying, fuck you. I can't do anything because the system is broken.
Yeah. So then the Catholic Church now, the sixth week, are trying to kind of like, hey.
Here we go again with the Catholic Church.
We're here. People, we're going to protest and walk with you. And the people are like, fuck you, Catholic Church.
Colonizers.
You have perpetuated the activities of the colonizers.
Yeah.
And some imperialism.
Yeah.
You are part of the problem.
Yeah.
And we don't want you to walk with y'all, with us.
Yeah. Like, you bring zero to this solution.
Yeah. And there are, if you go on Twitter, you see where they've overtaken like a Catholic, one of the biggest Catholic church in the country.
I loved seeing that.
you know what I mean?
Those priests were so scared.
They were.
They were shook as fuck.
And I think the condition probably I could see with Haitians is like, you either walk with us or you ain't with us.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be good. So you know what I mean? So
you're either with the people or you're against the people. Right. Yeah.
So that's around the sixth week. And now the seventh week, now you have, the medical medical field.
Right.
People in the medical field, doctors and nurses.
They're joining.
They're joining.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like you have all these, and it's not just in the province. This is happening all over the country, from the north to the south to the west to the east side. They all have mobilized and they all are coming together. Yeah. They are exhausted and tired. Farmers are kicking. So whenever the U.S. are coming in to bring food and things like that, they want to reject it. They're like, no, no, you're not helping us, actually. Yeah. You're making it worse.
Yeah.
And we have the means to farm. We have the means to feed ourselves. We don't want your help. It's so, like, it's all about dismantling the NGOs.
The hooks of supremacy.
The hooks of supremacy.
Yeah.
To allow, the people are just done. They're done. And they want to just clean everything up and just be themselves.
Yeah.
And just, and so it's one thing that again, these media pushes on, oh, they just want to kick out a president so they can have their own. That's not true.
Mm-mm.
The plan is that, no, we want to kick them out. Look at the system.
Yeah.
Clean up.
This is the same media, though, that will call this protest anti-government.
Right. Yes. that's exactly how they keep writing it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah. It's not anti-government. It's anti-shitty government.
Yeah. So there was a tweet where one man put, U.S. government, we, the Haitian people, are not seeking humanitarian aid. Be it known to you and the world over that Jovenel Moïse is fired by us as president of Haiti.
Fired by us.
Yeah, the people.
Oh,
yeah.
Leave it up to the Haitians once again to tell the world that this is how you do it.
Yes. So that's what's going on in Haiti, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited. There's a
threshold with Haitians.
Yeah.
That it feels almost binary. Like, it feels like, damn.
It's like,
you know what? Anybody who's been.
Is it binary?
You know what?
It's that warrior.
It's
whatever group of warriors they grab that group of people and put them in that island in Haiti,
yeah.
That
it's the
DNA
oppression.
Continues.
Yeah, it's the oppression of the death by a thousand cuts, right?
Yeah.
It's just like constant fuckery of just being like constant exploitation, constant like just like take, take, take. Constant,
yeah.
Like using everything that is Haiti,
mm-hmm.
And this is just how it boils over. It's like enough is enough. It's like,
yeah.
That's it.
But
we're done.
But
stop.
It's funny when you talk to older Haitians and the younger generation, maybe our age and younger,
right.
Of Haitians, because my parents come from a space of, oh, they're just going to protest again. And what's going to happen is if he does resign, then a judge is going to come in and going to be running things until they figure out who, you know what I mean? What the democratic rule will be.
Cynicism.
Right. Yeah. Like it's full of cynicism. Like it's going to just happen again.
Right,
there's going to be somebody else. Right. And so when I was communicating to them, it's like, no, the people are really trying to not continue that.
Yeah.
And they really
and that's why
want...
they're using binary language. It's like, you're with us or you're against us. It's very like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no margin here or spectrum of like, maybe he can stay for 6 months. It's like, no, he's fucking fired.
Yeah.
And he needs to leave now.
And even like, it's kind of tricky too, because even like mentioning the farmers, right? Farmers are like,
there's no 2 weeks notice.
There's no 2 weeks. They're like, no, we don't want your food.
Yeah.
And you need to leave now because, well, this is November. For them, it's crop time. So they're like, you're getting in the way of our crop.
Right.
And this is perfect crop time for us. So fuck your food and we're going to figure it out.
So the idea is that they have the means and the infrastructure to build up their own economy.
Yeah.
But it's being injected with all this stuff from other countries, from NGOs.
Yeah.
That it causes the flux of, like, I guess the cost of things to just be like at the whim of the NGOs.
And what's weird is that.
Is that correct?
It's correct.
Okay.
And what's weird is that when you see the tweets of people who are actually there.
Yeah.
When you talk to people, like there's a guy I'm excited for him to be on our show. He lives in Haiti. I believe he grew up in the United States.
Okay.
Or he immigrated in the United States, got his education, you know, lived his life in the United States,
yeah.
Decided to move back to Haiti to start a business. And he started a tourism business. He also started a staffing business in Haiti to help, you know, for people to get hired and
right.
find jobs and things like that. And I think he has another a third business as well.
Cool.
So he's right there. And
he's frontline.
He's front, like he hasn't participated as a protester, but he's in the country and hears and sees what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying that as a business person, it hurts. Like he's losing money. There's no doubt.
Bottom line.
Like right now, Best Western that opened in Haiti 15 years ago is closing down. They're closing.
Oh, wow.
Because they're not.
They're pulling out.
They're pulling out because they're not making any money.
Right.
These protests are getting in the way and has just money been dwindling.
That's what protests are meant to do, is disrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was saying, as a business person, this hurts his business.
Right.
Right. But he understands the protest that it's needed
mm-hmm.
because it's just the corruption level in the government is so bad.
Yeah.
It needs
yeah,
cleanup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so so I can't wait to have him on. But there's just so many, again, it's generations. A lot of people are just, there's just this sense where the news are presenting it like, emergency, Haiti's in bad shape and famine and blah, blah, blah. And which is true. Yes, people are, my parents get calls all the time from different people saying food's running down. We can't go out there. Food's too expensive. We're struggling here.
No kidding.
But at the same time, as they're presenting it like that in the media, you get this sense like the people who are there who are actually protesting, and you know Haitians, right? Stubborn. They're like, we understand we're suffering. We understand food's going down and people probably will die, but we still have to keep going. So every time there's been gunshots when they're shooting to in the public, and there's been gunshots publicly where they're like trying to scare or maybe have pointed and shot people, the Haitians are at that point where they're so done that they will sacrifice their life.
Wow.
It's getting there. It's like at that point where they're like,
well, it sounds like already like 42
have
been sacrificed.
Yeah, where they'll run and scatter when the police is shooting, but they'll go right back at it again.
Mm.
There's this sense of power by the numbers with the Haitians. Like it's really like,
isn't that their like, isn't country motto, l'union fait la force?
L'union fait la force, which is union is power.
Yeah.
Right? Like yeah.
Unity.
Like, unity is power.
Yes.
That's it. L'union, yeah. Unity is power. And that's the biggest sense you get from the younger generation of people who are protesting with everyone that's on the street right now. It's like, it's at the brink of by any means necessary that we have to keep going.
Yeah, and it's a shame that there's an ongoing suffering like this, and that it happens in other places as well.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, man,
Chile,
like,
Ecuador.
Yeah, it's like it's.
I'm hearing rumors Brazil and Cuba. No, Cuba and Venezuela. They have been following what's going on in Haiti.
Yeah,
and maybe looking to do president resignation on their end as well.
It's good to hear more and more the voices of the oppressed speaking truth to power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a
break.
You're
fucking fired.
Yeah. So in more news.
Get it.
In New York, people are protesting the NYPD policing the MTA by mass hopping the turnstiles.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. This chaos happened in Brooklyn that had 1,000 anti-cop protesters storm the subway stations yelling, "Don't let these pigs touch us."
Telling you, man, public transportation needs to be free.
Right. You know, so
This
is after a spat of violent arrest and the city's vow to add more officers to crack down on anyone not paying the $2.75 fare.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, let's more police.
Right?
Not more access, more police.
So the protesters, like, yeah. Oh, I know. Trying to see the signs. So, yeah. So basically,
I didn't understand a thing.
I know. So their grievances stems from two issues. One, alleged police brutality against New Yorkers, including a group of teenagers who officers were seen fighting in a recent viral video.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean fighting?
Like, I think they shoved one teenager. Like, they're just attacking the young black kids, like young black teenagers. And the other issue is that the fact that the police have created or planning to create 500 additional jobs specifically for officers, 500 officers, Globe, who are specifically going to monitor.
They wanted to hire
500.
Wow.
To monitor the subway network and arrest anyone who jumps the barriers rather than pay the $2.75.
Oh, they're cracking down, right? They're getting ready to crack some skulls. Yeah.
Hence, yeah. So that's
they're getting ready to show the world they cannot be fucked with.
Yeah. So the So this protest was about like 2 hours. Passenger told the newspaper that the demonstrator were banging on the bus. And that one kid with a white mask and hoodie used a marker to scrawl, basically graffiti, fuck NYPD.
While they were watching him?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, people, they're fed up. And see how that goes. I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, there's been a couple of, I know that there's been one attack. It's in Toronto. This has been an issue as well. Where they've been bullying and attacking teenage black boys, black teenagers.
Yeah, there's a young specifically. Man. There's a young man in Toronto who Reese Maxwell Crawford.
Yeah,
who was assaulted by the police in Toronto.
Yeah. I think I know right now he's looking to
sue. They fucked up his back. Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking. I don't know where the trial is.
I think
is
he won the lawsuit.
Oh,
yeah,
did
yeah.
he?
I haven't been up on it, but yeah, I think he won.
Hmm. Last news. So would you, Clove? Oh, no, you don't do haunted house, eh?
No. No, it's too much anxiety.
Would you do a haunted house for $20,000, though?
Hands down, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'd totally do it.
So.
Pay me to do it? Yeah, I'm in.
So there's this haunted house that no one has ever completed. Ever.
And you get $20,000 if you can complete it?
Yes.
Oh, this makes things interesting. Is it in Toronto?
It's in, I think, Ohio or something.
Woo! Dodge that bullet.
Russ McKinney will hand you $20,000 if you can complete his house.
Jesus.
And Mr. McKinney also requires guests to watch a 2-hour film that shows every person who has ever entered the haunted house, because he's been accused of some people saying that, like, they were touched or some things happened when things really didn't happen.
I think I saw a video on this.
I think there's like
where like a neighbor was complaining of how like disgusting it was, and she's been through, like, she goes like every year.
What?
But yet she's like really appalled by it. Wow. And there's videos of her like crying and her mascara's running and she's like being choked, and like it's like, yeah, it's, I don't know if it's the same thing, but
it could be.
I don't know.
I think there's a show like called Dark Tourism.
Okay.
And I think his
maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's in that show.
Okay.
I think they showcase his house, yeah, on that show.
Yeah, but he's known for that. He's known for like it being almost like torture porn. Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
I don't know if you've seen the videos, but it's like, from what I'm talking about,
yeah,
is very aggressive, like very aggressive. Like there's hands all over the people. They're being shoved around. They're being like pinned to the ground.
And they're like blindfolded, right?
Some of them were, some of them weren't.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw where they weren't blindfolded, but they had like those night vision cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was dark for them, but I could see what was happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think he has a whole video, like he has a YouTube video of,
yes,
all
that
of
guy
the,
does, yes, have that. Yeah.
Yes. So that's him.
Ugh.
So Mr. McKinney, so he requires you to watch a movie. You have to be 21 years old and older.
Uh-huh.
If you're 18 or between 18 to 20, parents, you have to have parents' approval. You have to complete a sports physical and doctor's letter stating you are physically and mentally cleared
No, I'm out.
No, you're out now? Yeah. It's $20,000 though.
Yeah, but I'm not physical or mentally capable of handling that. So, no.
He, You have to pass a background check provided by McKinney Manor.
Right. And the background check is probably checking if you sue people for stuff like this.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have sue history.
Yeah.
Suing yeah. history.
Yeah.
You have to be screened via Facebook, FaceTime, or phone. You have to have proof of medical insurance. You have to sign this detailed 40-page waiver.
That's ridiculous.
You got to pass a portable drug test on the day of the show.
You just said you'd get $20,000 for doing this, not all of this stuff. I'm out. That's bullshit.
And the last in the news, Canada made an invisibility shield, y'all.
Okay.
There's a new Canadian prototype.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Did you see the video?
I saw the video. Did you see my comment?
No.
Oh my God. Keep going and I'll tell you what my comment was afterwards.
So it's like a likely to camouflage military troops than boy wizards, but a new Canadian prototype is perhaps...
This is the most trolling ass article.
A new Canadian prototype is perhaps the technology that comes closest to mimicking the fictional Harry Potter invisibility cloak.
Big ups to the author of this article. So good.
It's called Hyper Stealth Biotechnology Corpse Invisibility Shield, officially dubbed Quantum Stealth. It's a light bending material that could be used to obscure objects of varying size.
Light bending material. It's the same light bending, light, like in quotation marks, light bending material that, do you remember in those little kid toys? Those yes. little kid toys that you'd wind up and, yep. and something would scroll across a screen and it would like flicker like on and off. It's the same shit. It's just bent.
For me, it looked like, you know those popcorns, were they called Jack in the Box or something like yeah. that, where you get these toys?
Yeah.
And you have like, what are they called? Like those little like investigative like. Loop or what are they called?
You called it a loop.
Like what's it called? A loop.
A magnifying glass.
Magnifying loop. In French, it's loop.
Yeah, that's why I laughed because you use the French word.
Yes, the French word. It's a magnifying glass, but it's made out of plastic, so you can't really see through.
And it does this weird warp
pattern that keeps going until the middle. Yeah. It looks like that.
Yeah. It's
like a giant magnifying glass made out of plastic.
So when the person was presenting it.
Did you see the video?
Yes, okay. Yes. So the person was presenting on the video and they held it up to the camera like, look, you can't see me, right? And all I could think was, but he can't see the camera either.
Yeah.
So what benefit is it to have like a shield in front of you where you can't see?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So it hides the person, but you could still kind of see the background. Yeah.
So you're hiding now, but your vision is completely fucked. You're hiding from the bad guy, but you have no idea where he is. He's invisible to you.
Yeah. The
way that this show presented this piece of technology, I was like, wow. Who is vetting this trash?
Yeah. They should have done a test. They should have done a test run of the product
They did. They fooled everybody. They're like, look, check it out. Invisibility cloak.
Invisibility shield.
Shield, right. Sorry. I was thinking Harry Potter. I'm sorry.
Quantum stealth cloak.
Oh, my God. Just the fact that quantum they put quantum stealth. In the name.
Let's take a break because what's coming up? I'm excited.
Let's just do it.
Let's just take a break.
No, let's just do it.
Bible scriptures, none are too unknown.
All right, Shirley, it's time for Bible scriptures, 90210. This is the part of the show where I read chapters of the Bible and then regurgitate them to everybody so that way we can find out what's happening and what's going on in scriptures.
Woohoo!
All right. So the players tonight are an angel of the Lord, the Israelites.
Angel of the Lord.
And last time we heard about God helping kill like 10,000 Canaanites and some Perizzites. We also heard how the Israelites cut off Adoni Bezek's thumbs and big toes. Remember
that? Oh, yes.
We heard about the massacre at Jerusalem.
Okay, not Jurassic Park.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
I misspelt it. Along with like five other massacres. We heard about Caleb's daughter, Aksa, marrying her uncle, Othniel.
And
we also heard about iron chariots being way too strong for God.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the material? Can I make a shield out of that?
It's made out of iron.
Oh.
It's like anti-god metal.
What kills werewolves?
Silver bullets.
Oh, it's okay. I thought, why did I think? Isn't there something that kills with iron? Not silver bullets. Silver. Never mind.
Okay. So we're getting into chapter two.
Wait. Last question. Can you kill vampires with silver or just with wood?
I don't know. I think it's just a wooden stake. And I think silver is all werewolf.
It's only werewolf. Okay. Why do I think I saw a movie?
I don't know, but you're in front of a Google machine.
That they used silver to kill the vampire. I don't know if it was like an 80s movie. I don't know. Like, it was weird. Maybe silver
was used to burn a vampire. I don't know.
Anywho. Was it Blade? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. I think you might be right.
Okay, am I?
No, wait. Okay, wait.
Some kind of metal.
No, it's in the movie Underworld. And they were using like a silver nitrate in the bullets.
Thank you.
For the werewolves. The vampires were shooting the werewolves with bullets that had
silver
in it.
That's why I got confused with yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was like, there was vampires and silver.
Damn you, Underworld. Yes. Stop mixing my shit up.
Yes, follow the rules.
So we're at chapter two of the book of Judges.
Okay.
Judges. Which is the seventh book in the NIV Bible.
Okay.
And I call this one, Are You Not Entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Yes. And so chapter two starts with an angel coming up from Gilgal.
Finally, an angel.
Yeah, coming up to from a place called Gilgal to a place called Bochim. And he starts speaking to the Israelites on behalf of God. And, you know, so they're all listening to him.
To the angel.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the angel's name?
I don't know if we get the angel's name. I think it just says he's an angel of God.
Okay.
It's like a messenger.
How do we know that?
He's like a text message.
Okay.
He sent them all a text.
Does he have a brand on him, like branding that he's an angel?
Nothing that I saw. Okay. It's just the Bible says, and here's an angel of the Lord.
Here's an angel that just comes down.
Yes. And so he starts speaking to the Israelites and he's all like, here we go again. I got you out of Egypt and brought you here just like I promised your ancestors, right? And all you had to do was destroy all the old altars and only worship me. But y'all keep slipping on the worshiping part.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Worshiping me as in the angel, or he's saying God told me to tell y'all?
Yes.
Okay.
God is speaking through the angel.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
In my mind, I'm picturing an angel, and all the angel's doing is opening its mouth like a megaphone. Words coming out.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But the awes are translated into like,
yeah, it's like Pennywise and the three lights.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Without the teeth and the, yeah.
Right. So the angel is all like, so you know what? I'm done. From now on, no help from me.
Ooh.
You want to keep fucking with these heathens and their gods? Fine with me. I don't even care anymore.
Y'all on time
out. Mm-hmm. So when the Israelite folks heard all of this, they started bawling their eyes out.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah.
And they started, like, because they felt really bad, I guess.
Yeah.
And they started sacrificing anything they could get their hands on.
Like
they
just, yeah. What do you mean?
They just started doing sacrifices.
Like, what do you mean?
To try and get God happy again.
Like, let's burn some silver.
Yeah, let's burn some stuff.
Cotton, maybe we put the cotton on fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they just went, and that direction.
And if they paid attention, animal fat would have been the winner.
Right.
I pay attention.
Yeah, because that smells really good and God loves it.
God loves the smell of burning fat.
So before Joshua died.
Am I off on this? We did cover that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you're bang on 100%.
Burning fat always wins.
Some foie gras, s'il vous plaît.
Foie gras all the way. Yes.
So before Joshua died, he told all the Israelites to go to the separate territories and to keep serving God. And for the most part, after he died, the elders were able to keep everyone in line with God's rules.
Mm.
But according to the Bible, it only took a single generation of Israelites to forget all about the God of Abraham and all the stuff he did for them.
Wow.
So, yeah, they started serving a god named Baal.
Oh.
Yeah, who was a Canaanite deity known as one of the kings of hell.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and they're also worshiping another goddess of fertility. And a fertility and love, and her name was Ashtoreths.
Okay.
Yeah. So, needless to say, God was triggered as fuck.
Yeah.
He was mad.
He sent his good angel. The angel probably was like, I don't really feel like going down. He's like, no, you need to go down.
So, get this. God is so mad that he let raiders plunder the Israelites.
Raiders?
Yeah.
What are what do you mean?
Like pirates just ransack right through Israel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, right through the chosen land.
Not the four horsemen's.
No, like he was not there to protect them anymore. Like he was done.
But he sent them. He sent some raiders. Yeah. Or the raiders
just let them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't playing defense
just came,
at all. Yeah.
And he's like.
He was on the bench.
Okay. Got it.
And he also made sure that the Israelites.
Not God it, but got it. Okay.
But not only did he let raiders plunder the chosen land or the chosen people on the promised land, he made sure that they couldn't fight back.
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd he do that?
Don't know. It just says in the Bible that he made sure they couldn't fight back.
Oh, it's like when you have a dream.
How come I can't walk up the stairs?
Yes,
oh, I'm in molasses.
Or you're about to like punch, but then you feel like you're going in slow motion and you're putting all your might and power in.
That's what it was.
Still moving slow. Oh, it's the worst dream.
But then the Bible also tells us that God sold the Israelites into slavery.
Oh.
And anytime the Israelites tried to fight back, God would fight on the side of their enemies.
Oh.
Just like they had been warned by Joshua. Mm-hmm. Joshua told him, said, don't fuck around. You don't want to fuck around. So now God feels a little bit bad and decides to give the Israelites some judges.
Okay.
And this works for a while to get them out of the hands of the raiders. But once the judges aren't around, they start
acting
a fool again. Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
So the Bible tells us this was opposite of the obedience shown by their ancestors. So now God promises the Israelites that he won't ever drive out any of the people he had originally promised and said that he will instead use the enemies of Israel to test their loyalty and make sure that they keep following the laws that Joshua had shared with everyone before dying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right.
That's chapter 2.
So it's like they weed themselves out, the bad ones, through
what do you
God's
mean?
Like, because.
No, God's like, I'm done with you guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like the done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And anybody who opposes you, you just got to see those as like tests, and I don't care.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, way to go. Way to fuck things up.
God's part broken.
So, a little fun fact.
Yeah.
It turns out the word bokeem means weeping.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So, next time we'll hear about all the nations that God decided not to drive out of Israel.
Yeah.
How Othniel saves Israel from Chuch Harishathaim. I'll have to learn how to say that word. A guy named Ehud delivers a message from God. Mm-hmm. God helping to massacre 10,000 Moabites. And how a guy named Shagmir kills 600 people with a cattle prod.
Oh, pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate and donate. Pass the plate. You gotta donate.
Book of Judges.
Book of Judges. And he... Wait, hold on. I'm trying to get it all together.
You got this.
Oh, got it.
And God was triggered really pissed as fuck.
He sent his angel. Nobody listened. And he don't give a fuck about you no more. Because you messed up Israelites. Pass the plate. And today, pass the plate. And today, pass the plate. And today, pass the plate. You gotta do it. It's really fun to sing. Go to ChonillaNetwork.com. Sign up today and to be added to the newsletter so that way when we go live, the show, the website, you'll know. You'll find out. And also email us, chonillalove@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show and what you've learned about the book of
Judges.
Thank you. The book of... How many books are there? 35?
I still didn't look that up.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just kind of taking it one chapter at a time.
That was a good one, man. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of... I'm on God's side. Like, he tried to give warnings through Joshua, and they ain't listening, and they keep, like, just messing up, so... Mm-hmm. There's a point that it's like, you know what? I try to tell y'all to follow these rules and you ain't following.
Yeah.
So you know what? You do you, boo.
But didn't he already know all this was going to happen? Just a question.
Maybe.
And if he did, I guess, that presents a moral dilemma.
I guess so. Hey, Clove.
Yes.
100 greatest singer of all time. There was an article, Rolling Stone. It was done back in 2008, where they list the best vocalist ever.
Okay.
And it was voted by a panel of 179 experts. So the top 10 so far, and I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree with this top 10.
Okay.
Okay. I'll do from 10 to 1. So 10 is James.
Why do I feel you're going to troll me right now?
No, seriously.
Okay.
James Brown.
Okay.
As number 10.
Sure.
Stevie Wonder, number 9.
Number 9? Okay.
Number 8, Otis Redding.
Okay.
Number 7, Bob Dylan. Number 6, Marvin Gaye.
Wait, they put Bob Dylan higher than Stevie Wonder?
Uh-huh.
Wow, okay.
This is number 6, Marvin Gaye. Number 5, John Lennon.
Okay, this list is getting wider.
Number 4, Sam Cooke.
Okay.
Number 3, Elvis Presley.
What?
That's what I wanted to see what you thought. Number 2.
So you were trolling me with this.
I'm not trolling you,
damn
bitch.
Damn it.
This is their list. Number 3, Ray Charles. And number 1.
No, wait, what's number 2?
Number 2 is Ray Charles.
Right, number 3 was Elvis Presley.
Number 3, Elvis Presley. And number 1 is Aretha Franklin. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tina Turner, they put her at 17.
Oh, boy. Wait, who's 100? I just need to know who came in last.
I'm going to give you 3 guesses.
No, I don't want to guess who came in last. No.
Mary J. Blige.
What?
Yeah. Steven Tyler came before at 99.
Oh, my God.
Stevie Nicks is before Mary J. Blige at 98.
Yeah.
Your
list is bullshit.
Iggy Pop is at 75.
You know, with all due respect.
Where's Dolly Parton, by the way? I'm all trying to really see good. If I can find Dolly.
All really good singers. It's just, I think that
I don't think Dolly Parton is like the greatest singer, but her songwriting is pretty solid. Jerry Lewis is 67.
You know what? Maybe there's some stuff of Jerry Lewis I haven't heard before.
It's Jerry Lewis.
Oh my God.
Bjork is not. Oh, no. Okay, my bad. I don't say Bjork is not even there. Bjork is at number 60, sandwiched between Rod Stewart, who's 59, and Roger Daltrey, who's at 61.
Who is 11? I want to know who made the honorable mention.
Paul McCartney. Number 12 is Little Richard. Al Green is at 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Bob Marley's at 19.
Yeah.
Etta James at 22?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Whitney Houston?
Yeah.
I had her.
Who would you have placed at number one?
Aretha for sure.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Okay.
I would probably add.
And why is that? Range? Is it
range?
Dynamics?
Range.
I don't know.
Range.
Okay.
Yeah. That woman can do any style.
Okay.
It's the range. She's a lyricist, she's a songwriter and vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a musician.
Is she considered a performer?
Yes, yeah, the way she, oh my gosh, the woman sweats it out when she sings. Okay, no, she's,
that's when you know you get your money's worth at a concert.
You better give me that sweat, yeah. Girl, or boy, or they. You know.
Flick it on me.
Yeah. I think, Whitney, I lost her number. I think she was at 34. She's before Dusty Springfield. I don't know who that is. And, but.
It sounds like a blues name.
Yeah. Steve Winwood is number 33, just before.
Steve Winwood, what did he do?
I have no idea.
I know that name, though.
Let's Google that. Steve
Winwood.
Let's see.
Higher Love. Bring me a higher love.
Really?
I'll be
impressed if you got that. Steve Winwood.
I think so.
No, he's like a folk guy.
Roll
with it. I don't know who that is.
Who's Bring Me a Higher Love, then?
Oh, shit. Bring me a higher love. Oh, what is? Hold on. Higher love. Oh, Clove, I think you might be right. There is a higher love, Steve. You're right. I think it's that Steve Winwood.
Hey yo.
No.
Is it?
Inside my. Oh wow, you are. Got it. You know.
I didn't. I just took a guess. Like my brain just said, I think that's this.
What?
Hey yo.
I thought he was a folk singer because there's later pictures of him. Maybe. What?
I think it's the trumpet stats I like.
That before Whitney Houston?
No.
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 Is that Chaka Khan in the video with him?
Probably. That was the 80s, man.
Wow, Chaka. She looked kind of like a mess. I'm sorry, but she does in the video.
Okay.
She was like, I'm going to be in a video with Paul McCartney. Sure, Chaka, sure.
You mean Steve Winwood?
Who the hell is that? She sees the video. Damn, I signed the waiver.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna stop drinking.
After 10 a.m.
Watch the video.
We're trash.
Yeah, we totally. I'm sorry, Chaka. You are. You know what? Speaking of Chaka, let me see where she at. Hold on.
Nah, are you ready to wrap it up?
No, I want to know where she at. Okay, fine. We don't need to know.
Poor Chaka.
Where is Chaka? Hold on. I don't think she made the thing.
Shirley is right now looking to find out what's happening with Chaka Khan. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody.
I'm just trying to make balance. I'm just trying to balance because I'm making fun of Chaka and I don't want to be in trouble by the RM
karma
gods.
Is a motherfucker.
It is.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can find us, chonillanetwork.com. And just sign up over there. Email us, chonillalove@gmail.com. If there's anything that you heard, that you need to educate us, that you need to fact check our asses, do so by sending us an email. Or send us an email with a question about love, yeah, about relationship,
yeah,
about the fuck shit the world is going through.
Yeah, I need that because I talk so much shit on this show. I need someone to say, like, hey, what you said is bullshit.
Yes. Leave us a 5-star reviews on iTunes, on any other podcast platforms, you know, your favorite podcast platform. So whether you can leave a review or leave a comment or suggestion or feedback, we'd appreciate it, and we'll read those on the show. What's the quote?
You're welcome.
Give us a quote.
All right. The quote is, nobody's free until everybody's free.
Oh.
And that is Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yes! Aibobo.
I don't understand the connection, but good night, y'all.
Wow.
Oh my God.
It's like counting.
Now it is. I just hit record.
Chloe did not hit the record. Rookie. I hope you keep that in the intro just before you play the intro.
Sure. Just for you, honey.
Wow.
Yes.
Newbie.
Hey everyone, you are listening to the Chonilla Podcast. I'm Chloe.
And I am Shirley, aka
the sexiest woman in the world.
Oh, sure. That and Lorraine Klassen.
Hey yo.
Yeah, you're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, a personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores. My computer just shut down on me.
Shut the front door. Oh my God.
What do we explore? Our life experiences and everything else that's just around us.
Do we have to do the take
world.
Three?
I think
we have to do a take three. Wait, did you let your battery run out? Rookie.
Wow, karma is a bitch.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review, I guess.
New beat.